FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
First time shot comes in. Jake Cottrell with a screamer.
I don't believe it.
An absolute rocket from Cottrell.
So hello everyone and welcome to Brackley. And you join us here for our end of season review. And joining me here at Brackley, we've got James Quinn, Woodzo's here, Swampy's here, and Stato Paul. And we brought you here to talk about, really, the season. Obviously, the season itself hasn't panned out the way we wanted.
Has it not?
But...
Well, expected.
Was it expected? No. At what point... I'll come to you first, Paul. At what point did you think this is going to be a dodgy season? Could you go back as far as Stockport County?
No, you should have got about three seasons.
20 seconds into the season?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, before we start this... I think you have to look at the three or four seasons before that where money was spent that affected the budget for this season and also the state of the club financially. And all these have had knock-on effects for the start of 2018-19. If you want to know the game there where I began to suspect that we weren't going to pull it round...
Was it early with the pre-season friendlies?
Well, I think the shoots of optimism were still there. Even at Edgeley Park, I don't think we doubted it 100%. But no. I would say maybe the humiliating defeat to Witten in the Cup in September, that was rather a shaking experience.
Yeah, I think what you say, though, Paul, in regards to, you know, the financial situation the club's in and the finances and the amount of money that was spent in the previous three seasons, let's not forget this season, we massively overspent on players and... I think the problem we've had is that...
But even so, the budget for this season was affected by past wasteful spending.
It was indeed.
And that's the point I'm trying to make.
But that didn't stop us, did it?
Can I just qualify? I think overall this budget will come in under budget, just for clarification purposes. But that might be more luck than judgement because of the...
I mean, obviously, there is circumstances behind this relegation this season. But if you go back to that Stockport County match where we got beat 5-1...
Ball flicked over again. And Lynch on the wrong side of his man, and it might be five, and it is five. And a great goal by Lance Mantop with his celebratory goal, celebration as always. And again, FC United, to be honest, it should have been 5-0 in the first 2 minutes of the second half, and those goals have come in the final 2 minutes of the second half, and 5-1. It's a drubbing, and a deserved drubbing, in fairness. Stockport County have been excellent, and FC United have been. I've been poor.
It was a disastrous start to the season, wasn't it? Edgeley Park.
The opening game of the season was very poor from FC. Obviously, Brad Barnes being injured after 6 seconds didn't help. Also, in pre-season, losing your goalkeeper, so Billy Crillin came in and he did very well. I mean, with a very unsettled team. On paper, the team itself looked to have experience and a little bit of quality about it. Unfortunately, the team just didn't gel. And I also believe that we had a manager at the time in Tom who... initially believed in himself, but then quite quickly didn't realise, I think, himself that the job was too much for him. And I think that transferred itself through the team. And I think we were, from that moment on, under a lot of pressure. The likes of Dickinson, who came in, was a strange one. You know, he's got great pedigree, but he didn't really show any great, great quality at FC. I know he scored against in the second game against Altrincham. But I thought, in reality, that the team on paper looked good. But when we saw them actually outperforming, it didn't look particularly good. And then losing Logan.
The thing is, though, man, we've been talking for seasons now. And I've said every year we should be, at worst, a safe mid-table.
10th, I think you were predicting.
10th. But I do it every season. Because like Swampy's just said, on paper, we've brought in a decent mix of experience at this level with O'Halloran, Winter, We've all played at this level before.
I mean, I remember having this conversation with you midway through the season. That team that we put out there against Stockport County, it's all right saying in hindsight it didn't really work out, but on paper,
absolutely,
that
yeah.
team wasn't a bad team.
But I think it comes back to...
Fitness?
Fitness is one thing, of course it is, but I do think yeah. the fitness was as bad this season as it probably was at times last season when it was seemed to be more of an issue, I think, start of last season, if I recall. But... using 58, is it?
57.
57 players, including that five goalkeepers in one season.
And there was about 20 that played less than five games.
You've no chance of getting anything going with the team and the squad. And we know the reasons for a lot of that. You know, the goalkeeping situation, we had to get Loney's in because of the injury, and then they get recalled, and then you get a keeper in for two games, and he goes back, and then somebody else goes. I know all that. But if you're using 57 players, including five goalkeepers, in one season... And that five goalkeepers was pretty much used up by February time probably. I'd use I was fishing by then possibly.
Mostly if it were clocking up.
So yeah. you're never going to get any sort of squad coherence at any point, no matter who's managing you.
I mean, it's all right, you know, going to Stockport County getting front 5-1. You might just think to yourself, "Oh, Stockport County were on it that day." But then there was the Aston United match.
Ball far side now with Matty Regan from left to right. They got great ball to the penalty area.
Done it.
4-3.
McHale.
Great ball.
McHale.
Well, it's a ball played down the left-hand side. The ball whipped in, and again, FC United static in defence. And Dom McHale there with a near post finish, and there was no one around there, was there? And with 6 minutes to go, FC for 3-1 find themselves 4-3. So FC currently conceded 9 goals in 2 games.
I think though, the Altrincham win was very encouraging after a dismal start, and. I didn't think, oh no, we're in trouble here. It was much later on when I felt
I think
we were in trouble.
Two other factors. The very poor pre-season that we didn't understand at the time, but the pre-season was poor in terms of the preparation. And the other thing was Lloyd Allinson, a heavy investment on a goalkeeper who injured himself before a ball was kicked. And that had massive repercussions for the rest of the season.
I think you're 100% right. Mm. And I think also you saw the lack of... the lack of fitness in the Ashton game. I mean, as you say, I mean, I was there. I was back for the first two games, and I missed the third game. But when you're 3-1 up, and you are in control of a game, you know, you rely on your experienced players, and you also rely on what the manager's going to say to you to get out there in the second half. And we just imploded, and we got worse and worse and worse. The fitness levels weren't good, and I think you're right. The Allison situation. Didn't bode well at all, at the club, and that's continued throughout the whole season, the whole situation with certain individual players, not just Lloyd Allison. But that has been the making of this season, and the question you ask is probably an unfair one, because I don't think anyone 2 or 3 games in, or even 5 games in, think, you know, we're going to get relegated this season. It's you have to wait a bit longer than that until you actually start realising that there's something fundamentally wrong. Are the players playing for the manager? You know, Tom Greaves leaves. That's another big
impact.
We'll
come back to that. I mean, because obviously it wasn't the best of starts of the season. A 3-0 home defeat to Boston United followed. And then we come to that curious game. And you commentated on this, James. Yeah. The ulti match.
Johnston trying to tease, but a good work from Baird. Good tackle there. And O'Halloran now has it. Plays it down the line. Jamal Crawford, can he keep possession? Plays it back to O'Halloran, shows good speed. Breaks through now. And now it's Willoughby. Willoughby now brings it towards the 18-yard line. Tries a shot! Scores! 2-1 FC United in Manchester. They stood off Willoughby and they paid the price. And that was an excellent finish by Willoughby. Just really drafted it. Almost used the defender in his screen and just floated it really into the corner. Keeper no chance. FC United 2-1 in front.
His third goal of the season, and he's a natural goal scorer. You can see it.
The whistle goes. That is a fantastic victory for FC United and Manchester. They started this game under real pressure. They made a bright start to the game in periods in the first half, but they went 1-0 down, and FC fans would have feared the worst. But FC held their nerve, headed goal by Dickinson, and then a superb winner from Willoughby, as it turns out. FC United, you've got to hand it to this group of players tonight, Paul.
I have to say that FC have won every visit to Moss Lane in their history, all 5.
That was a stat you were keeping to yourself.
And they're unbeaten against Altrincham home and away.
But there was a school of thought that said that some teams are set up for you to play against, and the Altrincham, a footballing team, were actually a good team for FC to play against. Nevertheless, it was a good display. We 1-0 up. Altrincham equalised. You thought, you feared the worst, and then FC came back into it. But you know, I don't think it was looking too terrible too early.
Even in that game, we weren't great first half.
No, but we were playing Altrincham.
Oh, exactly, we were playing lovely football. And James is right. We've said that in the last couple of seasons about teams who play football against us, and we play better against them. That has happened this season. I'm trying to use my words carefully, because it's not be overly negative. You know, like, you throw words like shambles and this. It's not been great across the season. The only time it has been good, which I presume you're going to use your little catchphrase, we'll come back to that. Is that little spell when we played the likes of Blythe and Hereford and
we'll
whatever.
We'll come back to that.
And you know what's coming. But the thing is, though, that is a new, like James said, it's a new manager bounce. You've seen it at other clubs, which we don't need to.
Well, given the. Let's talk about new management bounces.
No, hang on. Just before you do, I mean, no, it's interesting because. No, seriously. Because that game you're talking about, you were saying that, and the one before that, that's when people started realising that the manager was under immense pressure based upon who he could play and who he couldn't play, because the signings, player power probably got the better of the club, and people were on money that really wasn't affordable, and therefore you're going to have to cut your cloth accordingly in a game of football. Now, to do that, when you turn up to a game, you're going, right, we can play him, we can't play him, that really is the start of the end for any football club. I mean, it won't happen again. We've learned a huge amount of lessons from that. So it made it very, very difficult for Tom.
The selling of Gilchrist highlighted something which, you know, for a club who might need the money, highlights something which is quite good, which is transfer fees. But to get those transfer fees, you have to have a contract.
Yeah.
But we did go a bit over the top, didn't we? Because we thought we had all these exciting young players who played so well against the likes of Salford City and Spennymoor the season earlier.
Thing is,
and that didn't really carry through, did it, to this season?
But the thing is, I think a lot of that is hindsight. I mean, there wasn't a lot of dissent about it at the time. Even I would have a conversation with Jane. We were saying, we need to sign these lads. They are looking promising, and that was with best will in the world.
That does take us to that Altrincham match, which, you know, like we said, Scott Kay really...
He did have
a man of the match, but then we host Leamington and get beat again. And then it's the Spennymoor match.
Long ball over the top there for Spennymoor, and Hall gets the ball for Spennymoor. Gets the ball back to Ramshaw. First time pass over the top. Hall's got acres of room here over on the right hand side. Cross comes into the back post. In fact, it was to the near post. And it's very, very comfortable. And that's Goodnight Vienna here at Spennymoor as Adam Boyes makes it 2-0 to the home side. Tom, a big thank you for joining us. Another difficult afternoon, really, there. It's just, well, I mean, what do you say?
We set out to not concede early, like we've been doing. We wanted to turn them early doors and then earn the right to play. We did that to a certain extent. We stopped them playing. We kept our shape well. We're just not doing the basics right at the minute. It's the five-yard passes, it's the winning second ball, it's winning your headers, it's getting balls into the box. It's the work rate and the desire and the heart. And to say I'm disappointed is an understatement today.
I mean, talk about the basics. One of the things that it looked like in the first half, the difference between the two forward lines, if I could say it, bring this up, is the fact that when Spennymoor had the ball in the final third, either Ramshaw or Tooten, they always had at least three options.
Yeah.
And they were all possible passes that were purposeful passes. Whereas us going forward, we were looking at second balls only.
Yeah.
And it's... How do we go about that?
I've just said that in the dressing room there. There's nobody who wants it. There's nobody who wants to go and affect a game. There's no one who wants to go grab it by the scruff of the neck and take it to the opposition. And that comes with confidence and fitness as well. I don't think we look fit enough. That's probably down to myself and the coaching staff. But the movement's poor. Everything today is massively disappointing. And I've let the boys know that in there. And they know, they fully know what it takes to play for this club. And more than half of them in there today, they don't deserve to wear the shirt.
That Spennymoor match obviously saw the end of Tom Greaves, and me and you, Paul, interviewed Tom after. And
that was a very painful post-match interview with Tom. He just didn't know how to right the ship. So it was fairly inevitable after that he was going to leave us fairly quickly.
So welcome back, Mr. David Chadwick. And it's been quite a whirlwind week, to say the least. I mean, how's it been for you?
Totally agree with that comment. I think I've used whirlwind
about six times already in the last 2 days. Obviously, it was a bit of a shock, but straight away I said, you know, I'll do anything I can to help. So, you know, chuck me in at the deep end, so to speak.
We spoke, I think, at the turn of the year when you came to the club, and back to the club, rather. And what we were saying at that point was, you know, you're going to help out with the coaching side and the scouting side, and you have been busy. I mean, on Monday, for example, you were watching our next opponent's Bradford Park Avenue. You put your scouting report in on Tuesday. I mean, do you have any indication that this was coming down the track at that point? Or?
Oh, not at all. Like you said, I was at a game on Monday, taking me notes, taking me videos, etc. And I found my reporting, as I do, so then the guys could look at it and look into training and stuff. Filed it away and just filed it as done, complete. Move on to the next game. And I was planning my next plan of attack on the fixtures. So, yeah, I didn't have the foggiest clue that it was going to happen. And it's always a sad thing to see, you know, especially with someone who's such a nice guy and I've got a lot of respect for. And you know, I was speaking to him the other day, and we were on about, you know, you can't get excited about coming into a job in this position because it's sadness all around it. And, you know, because I feel for Tom, and we've been on a bad run, so you can't be excited about joining in on that, if you know what I mean. You've just got to go in and try and work as best you can and work as hard as you can and try and, you know, get an upturn in the results.
Now, it's an interesting position you've been in because obviously your attention's been outward looking in a way. You've been looking at the opponents for FC United. Have you got any indication about the actual, the internals of the club, the squad themselves, and what challenges we might be facing in the coming weeks?
Well, obviously, like you said, I've been out a lot on the games, scouting a few games and stuff, but you always try and keep an eye on. I do watch. I mean, highlights don't tell you everything, do they, on a squad? You don't see the internal side on that. What I can say, you know, I was in training last night, and the tempo was great. They worked hard. You know, I think we've got to have a boost in fitness because, you know, we need a better tempo in the games. We need to, you know, we need to be pressing higher up the pitch. We need to not be giving, you know, the opposition time on the ball to pick passes and cut us open. You know, we need to be more alert, and a lot of it's fitness, and we'll be working on fitness and, you know, trying to get them levels higher, and that comes along with, you're fitter, you're grinding results out, you're getting more points on the board, you're moving up the table, players are happier, players are smiling, they work harder for each other. And it's a combination of things that get you your results. And at the beginning, it's basics. You know, we get the basics right. We're making mistakes, cut the mistakes out, up your fitness levels and see where we go.
The problem, of course, for anybody else taking over is the inheritance of too many players on the contracts. And when Dave Chadwick took over, he had the job then to try and balance the budget, and that was a very hard thing for him to do because he wanted to bring players in, and he managed to do that to a degree, but he still had a number of contracted players who he was obliged to play.
Just going back then to Tom Greaves' departure, I mean, you know, over Christmas period last year, it was some of the best FC United performances, I think, comparatively, because of the league we're in, that we've seen.
It was a false dawn, because what it did was, it secured him a permanent contract as manager and gave him carte blanche during the summer to use up the budget. Now, if we'd not put such a good run together last season, we may have looked elsewhere for this season. But unfortunately, that good run masked the deficiencies that were to come this season.
Well, again, the problems you have is, I mean, I spoke to Tom on many occasions before, during and after his tenure at FC United Manchester. And my question to Tom was, at all stages, when you need someone with experience on your shoulder working with you because you don't have any of the experience.
He always agreed with that.
And he did. And again, because of budget constraints and because of we brought in players. And so if you want to bring in somebody of a real bit of quality that can stand next to you and give you a little bit of advice on the touchline, fine. But if you can't bring someone like that. So he was a lone manager, really. He made some poor decisions, he wouldn't admit that himself, and he made some good decisions. And I did believe over the summer period, after us staying up, that he needed someone alongside him, and if he wasn't getting someone alongside him, and we needed a different manager.
I mean, we said that at the time with the Spennymore match, that, you know, Tom's playing on the pitch, that also didn't help. On the sideline, you've got Jason Ainsley, who's been at Spennymore for 12 years and taken him to Wembley in numerous promotions. And next to him are two academy coaches.
That's exactly.
That was
a major issue, because as good as they are and as lovely people as they are and footballing wise, they've learned a lot. And Tom, you know, I always find it's very hard to be a player manager. It's the hardest thing in the world, and especially even more if you set a forward rather than, you know, you can to a degree.
If
you're playing in the midfield or you're playing at the back, you can see things, but you're playing up top, you can't see anything. So it is, in a way, it was doomed to failure.
Yeah.
And I think Tom did the right thing, and he gave FC a fighting chance of perhaps staying up or just steadying the ship.
So at that point, Dave Chadwick comes in on a caretaker basis. Not a new management bounce, but we did put some good displays in, especially the 2-2 against Bradford.
I think we showed a bit more structure, maybe. But I think overall, the lack of a senior footballing man behind the scenes was again an issue, even with Chaddy on the touchline, because that's something that we needed a while ago and we never addressed it.
I mean, Chaddy did come in to try and change things and to say, I know what the problems are and I'm going to try and change them.
He did use his scouting network and brought some loan players in that were useful.
Yeah,
some very useful players, especially some like Lewis Thompson.
His experience of running the under-21s at Chorley and being successful there helped him. Then he obviously knows quite a lot of people as well. But as you rightly say, not having that guidance on anybody. And when we do talk about Neil Reynolds a little later on, he would tell you the same thing. The one thing that FC lacks still is someone that a manager can go to from a footballing brain and a footballing profession. And you're just left by yourself. And if you're left by yourself as a manager, you know, you've got all the trials and tribulations was on the pitch, and we know this season we've had trials and tribulations off the pitch. You need a go-to person. You need someone that can support you both on the pitch and off the pitch. And FC still haven't got that. And that's something that has to be addressed this season, certainly. And from Dave's perspective, again, he was banging his head against a brick wall in a lot of ways. There was a lot of players that he really wanted to get rid of and he couldn't. And there was a lot of players that didn't play for him. You could see that. But the one thing that would have happened if... CEOs come and go in football, and managers come and go, and then caretakers come in. But if there's someone there that had been a director of football, they would have guided the manager through that period without needing the CEO's approval. They would have been dealing with things and helping and working. So keeping that is vitally important for next season. We need to get one in.
The other thing that would happen is a decision would be made on a new manager. And I was just scrolling down the list then of results before we get to Kidderminster Harriers, for obvious reasons. Chaddy was the manager for a long time.
Because
wasn't he?
Was drawn out.
He was, yeah.
There was contractual issues about getting the man we wanted, I think, and that was what the delay was, which spun it out for more weeks.
Just to cover off the Chaddy period, anyway. there were some good results in there. There was 3 draws on the trot. Obviously, we talked about Brad Park Avenue. There was a draw against Southport. A very good 0-0 away at Chester, and we were very unlucky not to win that game, if you remember. And then there was, obviously we got beat by Geise by 3-0, which was actually a dreadful performance, if memory serves. And actually, we talked about hindsight earlier, that could prove quite fatal in the end. The FA Cup, the 2-0 win against Colm.
Big long throw then, you can't be offside from a throw. It's an opportunity, they should...
Almost connected. It was a fantastic try, he tried a little bicycle as Carnell came out.
I just didn't quite get the end of it. And if he had made contact, it's FC United now with Lewis Thompson. Thompson plays the ball onto the near touchline. Jack Bannister now to the byline. No, he cuts inside. Ball's a great ball to the penalty. An opportunity, free header. Goal! Oh, well, from one end, it should have been 1-0 to the visitors. FC United down this near touchline. Great play from Lewis Thompson. He played the ball out to left-hand side to Jack Bannister. It looked like Bannister was going to take it down the byline. He cut back inside. He whips a fantastic ball in there. And a great header from Mike Donoghue at the back post. He just glanced the ball in. Excellent.
Yeah, that's all he needed to do. It was a fantastic ball into the box. You know, left the defence static. As Donoghue, like you say, just glanced. Keeper, it was in one of those positions where the keeper wasn't sure to come and claim. It hung in the air nicely. A cracking start to this game.
Even
Cone caused us some problems, to be honest.
That's a monumental win, that wasn't it, Paul?
And it wasn't until we had the prize money taken off us.
That was, yeah. But that was our first...
It was going so well.
Check this out, everyone. Towards the end of September, that was our first home win of the season.
Yeah.
Paul, the home form this season has been absolutely abysmal.
Well, like, as you said, one win in the FA Cup, one win in the league at home. That is not a stat that will allow you to beat relegation. It's absolutely diabolical. Believe it or not, our away form, I think, is better this season than last. And that's another statistic that needs looking at. You know, we've improved away from home, but the home form has just been absolutely disastrous.
And when you
10 points.
Yeah, when you consider Nuneaton also have only won one game at home, and they finished bottom of the division and relegated.
And
you know,
what was that game?
Ah, well, yeah,
straight after Cole.
FC charity.
No need to. If you think, oh, we've got it now. Chaddy's got it sorted. It's fine. Nuneaton Borough 1, FC United of Manchester 0.
And now it's Nuneaton with the ball. It's with Kelly Evans. And they're trying to thread that ball through into FC United's penalty area. Breaks down again. Falls to Kelly Evans on the edge of FC United's box. In it comes from Richards. Not the best of clearances for O'Halloran. It's high in the air. It's headed back. Shot comes in. Well, and that sums up FC United this afternoon. They've not really deserved the win, to be fair, Paul. The defending hasn't been too bad, but there it was terrible.
Yeah, the ball was played in and it was just skied into the sky, and Carnell tried to come out for it. He was one, wasn't the only one trying to scramble for it, and it broke nicely for Ando, I think, who stuck it in. Calamitous goal to concede 85 minutes on the clock. Even the spectre of a point now seems to have faded away.
And for the record, Paul, who scored that?
I was
too busy tutting.
Enoch Ando.
But FC United trail with 5 minutes left to play here.
But the thing is, that Nuneaton game is a perfect example of, you're talking about like the home form. Southport, latest equalising the 80 odd minutes. You know, I know it wouldn't have been a win, but when we move forward into the season, Stockport, they get a win in the last minute. They were head and shoulders above us, but we could have very easily got a draw out of that. There's a couple of other games, Paul, which you probably recall off the top of your head, where we've conceded late goals from a winning position. It's football,
yeah.
Small margins, but the facts are, in black and white, you're right, we won one league game all season.
We're about to come to the end of part one, but we do have to mention that the goal-scoring issue of the fact that right towards the end of the season, we still hadn't scored between the minutes of 46 and 60.
That took a long time, yeah. And also, you've got to mention the Manchester Premier Cup run, which again summed up our hapless season.
Well, the fact that, you know, after Witten... I mean, let's talk about the FA Cup just before we finish. The Witten Albion defeat...
And, it's a nice ball.
Keeper's out of his goal.
Brewster's there, but Thompson
brilliant
does well.
Thompson
tracks back, but Brewster wins the ball back
well
for
done,
Witten.
Lad.
Oh, and he goes down.
Well done, lads, basically.
And Samoza has got to get a red card.
Oh...
Samoa's second yellow, kicking the ball away, and that was a booking, and if he's mouthed off for the first booking, and FC United now down to 8 men, that's the end of the show, I'm afraid.
But right from the off, there was players out there that for some reason didn't appear up for it, within their attitude and how, you know.
Thing is though, Emily, they have the opportunity that they've been craving for, possibly because of lack of opportunities, and they don't take the best of it.
No, and, you know,
and
the
work
are,
rate.
There's players there that they didn't put it in.
Work rate's poor. You know, attitude to work rate's poor. You know, you look at that and you're thinking, you know, 2 out of 10. You can't do that if you're competing in a game. You can't do that in a boxing match. As I said, that they didn't necessarily, you know, win on points. We never got our foot in the ring with some of our players. They never even wanted to, contest the fight and the story. I'd have been disappointed in myself there, you know, let alone the result, because that's, you know, that's where it lies.
Immensely disappointing. Next season, we've got to have a cup run, haven't we? We are due one.
Well, I think for next season, Northern Premier Division. I think for next season, we need to concentrate on the league itself, and with good results will come a good cup run as well. I mean, I think that's the only way you can look at it.
The big problem next year, of course, is winning it earlier, so you've got to win more games to get to the money bit.
Yeah, well,
momentum though was all. I like your
positive spin on that.
Thanks.
I like that.
So, a big welcome to FC United to Mr. Neil Reynolds. Hello, Neil. How's things?
Hey then, all good. Thank you. All good.
I was going to say you've not been officially welcome to the club until FC United Radio has welcomed you. So welcome to the club. How does it feel?
Feels amazing. You know, it absolutely feels amazing. I'm overwhelming, honoured, privileged. You know, all the key words that go with the thought of, or the realisation of managing FC United. It's been a long 2.5 weeks. You know, the fans won't know, but we've been kind of back and forth the last 2.5 weeks, club to club, to enable these discussions and this opportunity to take place. So, you know, I've got to thank all parties for the professionalism along the way, and I'm just glad that the dreams now become reality.
What was it about this job at this stage of your career where you thought that's the one I want?
I think, Ben, you know, I haven't hidden this. I've been really vocal all the way along. Is, you know, when I stepped into the coaching, the assistant managing, the managing, that I've always wanted to manage at the highest level as I possibly could. I haven't hidden the fact that, you know, one day I want to be a professional football manager. And I was waiting for a club to be able to give me that platform. Bamber Bridge have done wonders for my career, and, you know, we'll get onto that in a minute. But then all of a sudden FC United come knocking. And I can't think of many bigger football clubs than FC United. And people would say that, but, you know, you're looking at the likes of York City, your Salford Cities, Chester Cities, and so on and so forth. FC United are equally, you know, up there, if not bigger. You only have to look at the fan base, the infrastructure, the new ground. Everything's built, and, you know, the history that they've created under Carl Margeson, under Greavesy, now under Chaddy, and, you know, given the opportunity to take the club onto the next level is remarkable. It's such an honour. And what people will quickly realise about me, Ben, is that, you know, I give my heart and soul into what I do, and what I'm going to do for FC United is deliver, and I can promise that.
Dave Chadwick was caretaker. That era came to an end.
It's not the one who's trying to get rid of us
and
now, is it?
Eventually, we did get Neil Reynolds. But not before Neil Reynolds said, can't come to that game. I've got to stay at Bamber Bridge for this game.
Yes.
Jack and Tom could take care of the Kidderminster match. And strangely, it was one of the performances of the season.
Back it goes to Lonsdale. Lonsdale plays the ball square to Healy. Healy now for FC. Switches play out to the right-hand side. Seniors in space. Over on this right-hand side now. On his left foot, plays the ball in field to Bannister. Bannister shoots. Deflected. And FC United, on 32 minutes, have taken the lead.
Well, lightning does strike twice. Bannister's had two strikes and both of them have been deflected and both have gone in.
Two deflections.
I'm stunned, Paul. I'm absolutely stunned.
Well, obviously, there's a long way to go in this game, but you've got to give credit to, I think, Bannister and Donoghue, particularly up front.
Oh, they've been, and Somoza as well. Somoza is doing all the graft, making space left, right and centre. And Bannister and Donoghue are lapping up every second ball at the moment. And fair play to Senior as well on the right-hand side. It was just, well, it was great.
Yeah, they're showing a great appetite to get forward. And make something happen. And that's something we've not seen a lot at certain times of this season. With two novices on the touchline, no real manager in charge, the players went out and played remarkably. And we were thinking, well, if Neil Reynolds can do this from 130 miles away, then what's he going to do when he's actually with the players?
And then there was a series of good results. And I'm going to come to... I'll come to you first, James, for this bit. Hereford away.
A long ball at the moment. And what you're seeing is both teams going for each other's. Nice play there from FC United and Manchester. Wallen came back, helped his defender, and the ball played out wide right-hand side now. Two. Senior to Willoughby. Willoughby 1-2 with Senior. There's a movement there in front of him. The ball chips. It's a great ball. It's an opportunity. It goes across. This should be 1-0 differently. It is 1-0! And the touch of the number 9, Tom Pearce. FC United with a plethora of chances, really. Going to the lead on 25 minutes. And good football down the right-hand side. Patient play. The ball down the right. There was FC United and Manchester's senior. They played the ball up inside to Willoughby. He had the overlap if he wanted with Simo. Simo plays the ball across the field. And a good finish.
Really good. It's really in sight.
Six attempts and one goal from FC United and Manchester. And that's a great... And what a great time to bring James Quinn in to take you through to the end of the first half.
Hereford have it on the right-hand side. And it's a throw into FC United. And that's a good ball inside now. Potts, can he spread this out to the right hand side? For Joel Senior, yes he can. First time ball. Lovely ball from Senior. Now Willoughby. He's got Senior still outside him. Willoughby though plays it into. Oh, and we'll keep a diving there. Didn't get it. Donoghue does well. Now it's with Thompson. Just inside the box. Thompson! Oh, yeah!
Own goal!
It's an own goal. It's 2-0 FC United! And that, I think, comes off as it... I think it was Ryan Green. But FC United now. And this is a time, Swampy, where you just feel you want to absolutely put the foot on the neck of Hereford. They're going through a bad run themselves. There's an opportunity here. FC are already 2-0 up, strong position. Let's get one or two more before half time.
Well, yes, I think we need to be quiet. There's a few rather distraught fans below us on the left-hand side. No, I think what we're doing is we're winning every second ball. We're putting the pressure on them, and we're making sure that we're effective in the penalty area. The ball came in, and as you say, if the defender hadn't put it in, there's a player at the back post about to stick it in anyway. So it's very difficult for the defender. But as I say, FC United, I've just...
Really
turn that straight
wild back pass there from Hereford, force from Willoughby, 30 yards out,
3-0,
and he's got it, it's 3-0, and terrible links up here, and Hereford fans are monster absolutely furious here, but that was a calamitous curious back pass from O'Sullivan there. The keeper clears it, but Willoughby picked it up, shot it first time and placed it perfectly, so that Yates, as he chased back desperately, just couldn't get there.
There was much talk about the fact that there was a pattern of play which had certain fundamental principles, like players never more than 15 metres away from each other, and there was just a positivity and a freedom. I think that was the thing. It was a big win at Hereford, and I think very rapidly people started to think, well, it's all been about we've never had a method of play, and we've got that for the first time. That's how it felt, and that was the buzz around. You talked to supporters as well at that time.
And the other thing that it showed as well, it wasn't just the pattern of play and the tactics and that kind of thing. There was a bit of a cutthroat nature to FC United. The Hereford bish bash bosh for his three goals, that followed the Blyth Spartans 3-0, which was an amazing performance.
And it comes, it hits the wall, straight back to Oliver. Oliver with a chance to play this ball out towards his left hand side. Good stuff here from Blyth Spartans. Cross comes in from Buddle, it's charged down and cleared by Potts. High in the air the ball goes, and it's played straight back in towards FC United's penalty area, cleared by O'Halloran. Here's Donoghue now. Donoghue with a nice ball through the middle there to find Willoughby. Willoughby's onside, he's 1-on-1. Willoughby scores on 20 minutes. FC United from defence to attack. FC United with Kurt Willoughby take the lead, Paul.
Well, from defending a free kick in their own half, it was a great breakout, and the through ball to Willoughby was absolutely spot on. And as a genuine goal scorer, he shrugged off the challenge from behind, drew the keeper and slowly slid it below him. And that was a hell of a finish.
It really was. Here's Piers now. Piers with a nice ball there to find Samoes over on the left-hand side. Samoes keeps the ball in play. Samoes checks back from the byline, not too far from the Blyth corner flag. He's got two green shirts, draws them in. Here's a cross from Thompson. Thompson to Piers!
Oh, yeah.
Piers makes it 2-0. Two goals in the space of 2 minutes, Paul.
Well,
what a play there from Samoes and Thompson on the left-hand side.
Looking absolutely stunned. Good play by Samoes. The cross by Thompson was perfect for Piers. And within 20 minutes of his debut, he scored a goal. And it's certainly a good place for us to come to, Croft Park, over the years.
Well, FC United on 21 minutes, go 2-0 up. It's all about containment now for FC United. But Blyth Spartans, can they get a goal back? Cleared by Thompson. Wrightson wins the ball back over from this right-hand side. Step over, gives the ball away. Crawford beats one player and then releases a pass to Willoughby. Willoughby, it's 2-on-1 all of a sudden. Willoughby's got Mansell in field, but Willoughby keeps possession. Now plays it to Mansell.
Too strong.
Oh no, it finds Mansell! Bottom corner! And in the 89th minute, from defence to attack, once again, FC United have put this game to bed. Lewis Mansell, the substitute, seals it, Paul.
At last he scored a goal for FC. He'll be absolutely thrilled at that. But again, from a Blyth corner, the breakout was superb. It was 2-on-1 because Blyth are committed. Willoughby, I think, slightly overplayed the pass, but Mansell controlled it superbly and drilled it in the corner.
Well, what do you say, eh? That's proper, that.
We played them off the park that afternoon at Croft Park. It was a remarkable performance, and it could have been bigger than three. And like you said, the game at Hereford again, we won 3-1. It could have been 6-7-8, couldn't it, the way we ripped them to bits?
Yeah, Hereford was a game where you watch that, and we've seen quite a lot of Neil's Bamber Bridge in the previous season. You're thinking, he's brought the Bamber way of playing football to FC United of Manchester. He brought in two players, Potts and Wallen. and they just bossed the midfield, and there was great quality, there was passing, there was continuity, everyone worked well for themselves. And yeah, there was a big, the game itself showed great quality and great promise. The family stand in Hereford wasn't quite as family orientated as we thought.
I was inside, it's all right, I was safe. I was in the indoor press box, remember?
And things looked optimistic, and you know, it was a game and two great games. You know, the Blyth game and that game, you're giving hope and you're thinking, you know, you've got it right. But then, as we know, things unfurl again.
I mean, you did ask Neil a couple of weeks ago, James, about, you know, what changed.
Yeah,
and we've all thought about it now. And I think one of the key changes was a couple of departures, which were big. And it goes back to that Hereford
probably
match.
Probably three.
Elliot Samoes, Lewis Thompson, and who are you throwing in?
And Potts getting injured.
And Potts getting injured.
There is that question that FC were playing in a different way, and maybe teams started to work out. Maybe the word got round about this is the way they play.
I was just about to say the same point, so, James. 2 weeks after Hereford, when we played them again in the trophy.
Yeah.
Worked out really quickly.
That's always that thing about when a new manager comes in. So that's a factor as well. But the loss of Potts, to me, was very significant. It's just a presence. Work rate, obviously. But it's just... He is the manager on the field, isn't he?
One of the problems with having so many players and so many managers is you don't have that rapport in a dressing room, do you?
Because I forgot to mention the manager a bit before. But you're right.
But just to talk about Elliot Samoes for a second, because you know we're talking about putting so many players on contracts and that kind of thing. He was a player who you know, we were reading out match reports from the youth team where he was scoring a hat trick and four goals, and we're saying he's gonna be good. Played against North Ferriby, didn't he, towards the end of last season, and did a couple of tricks and was like, wow. 8 months later, he's at Barnsley.
Yeah, but hold on, let's remember one thing. He wasn't on contract when Neil Reynolds arrived. Neil Reynolds got him on contract because he knew the quality of him and knew he was going to go places. Elliot was a very good player. Elliot wouldn't have saved FC season. We know he's gone on to do things at Barnsley. We know he's put on 2 stone in weight. He's gone from 9 stone to 11 stone 3.
He had a big gold chain on last Monday.
The most important thing is he can now wear it.
Well, exactly. He's a professional footballer now. Yeah.
And this is two stone and muscle.
I mean, Neil has freely admitted towards the end of this season about his oversight of the under-21s and the youth team that it might not be what he'd like it to be. But that goes back to the director of football. And they're pulling everything together under one roof.
Listen, you know, we're...
So it's all pulling in the same direction.
We're privileged to a degree to speak to the manager more often than not and speak to him more than a lot of other supporters will. And he's a head teacher of a school that was in decline, and he's got a plan to bring that school up to very high standards. And that plan is a 3 to 5 year plan. The exact same plan is in place with FC United and Manchester. 3 to 5 years to go from the very bottom to the very top, including Mostyn Juniors in all of it, to make sure that the club is all singing off the same hymn sheet. That includes the women's team, the juniors, everything that has the FC name works together. And it's going to take time. The season is finished after today, and you know, we'll see big changes and big changes for next season.
But the departures did strike. Chaddy was mainly responsible for the input of players like Lewis Thompson. It's often been said, hasn't it, that they're not our players. Roy Sewell would always say this: they're not your players.
The continuity isn't there.
The continuity is not there. Yeah. And as the injuries hit, the departures hit, our form struggled to get going. And
it did, yes. And the one thing you look to is, I mean, clubs do get loanees in, and they get them on short term. I mean, the one thing I've always advocated, and I know other people have as well, is if you do get a quality player and they're on loan, you want to try and get them secured for a season long loan, so they're there all season. Matlock Town had it with two cracking players that were on loan for entire season, and their season was the next one, not this one just gone by, the season before. So if you can get players of quality in and keep them for a couple of seasons, it helps them and it helps you as a club.
I mean, if we could get Zed Mohammed for another
just
season,
to say
that
the
would
same
be amazing,
point,
wouldn't it?
Last
season, our festive period really made not just the club season, but Tom Greaves, I'd suggest as well, and a few players who benefited greatly, like Kieran Glynn and Tom Walker. The festive period last year was amazing. Not so much this year.
We had we had two very difficult opponents over three games, didn't we?
We did.
That's what made it.
We had to play Charlie on Boxing Day, then Spennymoor midweek, and then Charlie again on New Year's Day, and conceded a grand total of 11 goals and scored two.
Now it's with Wallen, very deep position. Spreads it out, nice low cross. The senior's got a bit of space in front of him as he goes over halfway, right-hand side. Tries to thread it through, but the shape of Chorley is good, and they cut that out. And that's a beautiful ball to Carver. Carver now with a chance to make it 4-1. And he does. And he shuts FC out of this contest.
It was a great through ball, that, to be fair. Although the two centre-backs were a bit apart, weren't they, Paul?
They were. He took it in his stride very well and picked his spot. I'll give credit to the striker there. Yeah, again, I think the manager, if he was asked about those games, he would say some of his team selections were governed by circumstances rather than his own personal choice.
Well, yes, I think you're dead right. And also, you've got to remember, there were players that had gone out on loan and players that had actually, you know, that were contracted players went out elsewhere. And when they came back, the problem you have then is you've got to play them, because the budget constraints would suggest that once they're out and away and other clubs are paying towards their sort of like their cost, it's not too bad. But when they all come back en masse and you're told, oh, by the way, he's got to play, you're going, hold on a second.
Well, that answers James' point earlier about why the pattern of play
changes. And the pattern of play changes massively. And you've got no continuity there. Also, players that have been sent back rather than wanted to go back, you can see they don't want to play. And they're getting paid, so that, and I'm going to say something. I've always advocated that a player never purposely goes out there to perform poorly. But you know what? This season, I've seen players that actually seem to not really be that bothered, from the Premier League all the way down to our division. There are times in games where they're giving as much as they can give, but they don't go that extra mile. They just do enough to look like they're not conning everybody and they're picking up the wage.
After the festive period, though, there was one bright spark.
Yeah, I didn't come back for a while.
Bradford Park Avenue away.
Well, the ball doesn't fall favourably. Well, it does now for FC United. Banish on the penalty here first. Comes. Oh, what a beauty! Left foot, top corner. Absolute wonderful ball. We just thought that Harry Winter had shown a bit too much of the ball. It comes across to Bannister, and he took it with his right foot, put it onto his left, and he just bent it. Top right-hand corner. The keeper drenched. Nothing he could do about it at all. And Bannister there, it was
incredible. That was incredible. That's something that you'd want to watch over and over again, you know. As soon as he got the ball, as it opened up, you were expecting him to get a shot away, but he just hit that so perfectly right into the top corner. Keeper, absolutely no chance.
Absolutely superb. Really, really. And it just looked like the chance had gone, because Winter was here. We were in the ascendancy. He lost now, but it comes across nicely to him.
It looked like the defence were getting back in you know, Bannister wasn't going to have enough time to make that shot and get that placement on it, but absolutely fantastic.
Simo's now, the ball falls kindly for Willoughby. Willoughby now, he's got Bannister on this side. Well. Comes across himself. Oh, 3-1! What you want him? You want him with the ball at his feet, going past defenders and then getting the shot away. And the England C international there did exactly that, showing why we brought him into this football club. He hasn't shown enough of it in recent times. We were talking about it last night on the other show that me and Ben do, saying he needs to really show that metal, that extra yard of pace. And by Jove, whether or not it's the wind giving that extra 5 yards, I'm not quite sure of pace, but that was a great finish.
Absolutely brilliant. You know, just his movement, everything. You know, the ball into him as it's opened up. He's taken one look and he's absolutely buried it. It's another absolutely fantastic goal.
And I was just about to say as well, really, a game like this, you need to get another goal to really put the pressure on. And just afterwards, what a finish.
Woods, though, where on earth did that performance come from? Because all the personnel changes and all that, you know, Winter's back in midfield. He puts in one of his best displays of the season. Possibly one of his best displays in a red shirt, I think. Where did that come from?
It was strange, because we had the two young lads doing
Zen and Sastavis.
Made their debut. And I think we said before, I think I can't remember if I was on before I got kicked out of the press box by that. If you didn't say it, then probably said it a week after, that, you know, to throw them in, and we were like, what's going on here? It worked. Now, whether or not there was a lot of things there outside football, i.e. the weather, which is obviously very similar today, it was wide open. They didn't play. I mean, I sat in the stand, not right opposite where you were, so not in the FC, but in the middle bit. So with the Bradford fans, they were giving pelters to their players, not on a Hereford scale, and absolutely talking up Harry Winton. That's one said to who is that? Number 8, he's unbelievable. And I thought he had a decent game, but it was just one of those games where we hit things, they go in. You know, and maybe it's more down to that than anything else. It wasn't necessarily that we played particularly brilliantly. We didn't play badly. It's one of them games, maybe. I don't know.
The work rate was there. The quality and certain aspects was there. And what
and
we
you
did
gave me a little bit of your vegan sausage roll as well.
As I did,
Greg's.
I got in there as well. But also, what we did do is we acquitted ourselves better in conditions than they did.
They did.
On the
and
day.
That was it, yeah. I think that's probably the primary thing that day, yeah.
In part one, I asked the question at early doors when did
early doors? Over there.
Another plug.
At Stockport County away.
We've paid for these.
At Stockport County away, did it suddenly dawn on people that it was going to be one of them seasons? Obviously, you can't answer that question, but can you answer that question with regards to Ashton United away?
So, corner to Ashton United. 15 minutes left on the clock here. 0-0 the score. It's going to be an in-swinger from the left-hand side for Ashton United. In it comes towards the back post area. There's O'Halloran. It breaks to Chalmers. Chalmers on the penalty spot. Ball broke to him. He did well to keep his knee above that ball on the volley. And Aaron Chalmers slots it to the right-hand side of Lloyd Allenson. And with 15 minutes left to play here in this very nervy six-pointer down the bottom end of the table, it's the home side who've taken the lead.
Well, we knew it was probably going to be a scrappy goal, and it was, again, it was from a corner, and it was a clearance that didn't really clear anywhere, and Chalmers was in the box, got a small bit of space, managed to stick it away with his left foot, and, yeah, critical goal for Ashton. They don't score many, but this is a very important one.
Look, let's get down to brass tacks, shall we? We played Ashton United twice, and we played Nuneaton twice.
Spoilers.
Spoilers,
by the way.
Oh, all right.
I think everyone knows. We'll come to the Nuneaton match in a second.
I wasn't going to come to the game itself. I was just going to make the point that if you don't potentially win all those, in case you don't know what's coming soon, dear listener,
look away.
You deserve the fate that you end up with, I'm afraid. And that's you know, you can't lose all the games to those two sides and expect to stay up in the league. I'm sorry, you can't.
25 minutes of good play at Curzon undermined after that by some atrocious defending.
Another sending off as well.
That didn't help either.
It was Harry Winter red card, wasn't it? Discipline.
Yeah. It was, but then again, you know, that
I'm not saying it was
no, because their player should have gone in the same instance.
The point I'm making is that, you know, it's,
yeah, no, absolutely,
it's little things like that go against you. And
it is.
You
of
think
the
writing's on the wall, really, when you're losing against, you know, your arch and bitter rivals that are, you know, in the same.
I think the Ashton away game. I think the Ashton United away game is the one, because we, you know, you talk about Bradford then, and you talk about the conditions and the pitch and whatnot, and very similar conditions and pitch that day. And I mean, it was a poor game, and if it had finished 0-0, we'd have all gone home. So that's fair enough. They whoever scored first in that game was winning that game. I think we said at half time, didn't we? That
yeah.
whoever scores first will win this game, because the other team will not be good enough to get back into it. And that's exactly what happened. The other team was not good enough to get back into it. But I think that day was the day when, you know, we went to the pitches afterwards, and we sat in the car before it started because it was very early, and we said, I think that's a season done and dusted now.
But we had the emergence of Zen Mohammed.
Yeah,
in the last half of the season.
And obviously, we started off with Zen Mohammed and Billy Sass Davis, and Alti were a bit naughty, but it's not illegal. What
yeah, Billy like. Kicks a ball for him. Anyway, let's not go down that way.
Yeah.
Made his league debut last week.
Yeah,
way.
He did. He's back at Crewe.
When I say last week, a few months ago.
We should say players like Mansell, like Lewis Thompson, like Zen Mohammed, like Billy Sass Davis, who has made his league debut now, as you rightly say. It does go to show you that, you know, even for a team who's doomed at this point for relegation, you could still put in the performances and learn a lot as a footballer.
Of course you can, but also you've got to think about Fisher as well. Fisher came in, Bradford Park Avenue. I think we were hoping to get him in then. And
Possibly our best keeper this season.
Well, certainly.
Yeah, I think he's been outstanding for us.
I mean, when you consider that the only reason why he never signed us for us earlier was because during the January window...
Someone was going to try and sign the Blackburn goalie, weren't
they? I think Leeds were involved somewhere, weren't they?
Real Madrid, weren't they? Looking at the Leeds goalkeeper.
To be mentioned in the same sentence.
Exactly. As FC and players. Who'd have guessed it?
They kept hold of him because basically he was going to be moved up the further ranks, and he's come here and his attitude is superb. His work rate is superb. Now, and the thing is, he's a Blackburn Rovers player, earning good money, but training and loves this club, and I'm sure he's the kind of player that won't be with us next season simply because Blackburn have seen the quality of him, want him straight back. But he would love to come back to FC because he understands it and he gets it and he feels the supporters' pain of being relegated. But, you know, he'll always be welcome back.
And that goes back, just quickly though, Ben, to Swampy's point about loan players. He would be the ideal player to get on a season-long loan. If you've not got a goalkeeper who you can rely on, yeah, and you've got him all season, and he's going to be in there barring injury, suspension, or I suppose the problem with loan players is injury and suspension at the other end, that's brilliant. But, you know,
despite the Ashton result, there was a spell where we weren't getting beat. We were drawing a lot.
Draw a lot of games, didn't we?
Drawing a lot. But we weren't getting beat. Guiseley, Southport, Hereford at home, and then a fabulous win away at Telford.
Martin to take this throw in. Donoghue comes short for it. Donoghue brings the ball under control. Back it goes to Martin. Martin forward to Piers. Piers wins the flick on. Gets the ball back. Piers now to Willoughby. Willoughby leads this ball off to someone. Winter gets the ball back. Out to the left-hand side with purpose to find Bannister. Bannister now tricks himself but wins the ball back. Back it goes to O'Halloran. O'Halloran finds a pass forward there to Donoghue. Donoghue tries to get that ball, but Wallen plays the ball through there, breaks to Bannister. Bannister across there to Piers. Piers lines up a shot, yes, and it's dream time for FC United. 3-0 up. Piers to the left hand side of Bursic. Nothing the goalkeeper could do with that one. And with 15 minutes on the clock in the second half, FC United have gone 3-0 up, Paul.
Well, what a master substitution that was. He's been on the pitch a matter of a few minutes and he's increased the lead to 3. So, full credit to the manager. And what a fine finish from Tom Piers.
We're still on, and it's the hope that kills you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Possibly a good time to play Telford with half an eye on the trophy, though.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Let's talk about the Nuneaton, Matt St. James.
There comes O'Halloran. Now O'Halloran plays the ball long. Not the best of balls. One bounce, Willoughby. Can't win the ball back, and Lussie clears it. Whittam's got a rise, wins the header, gets it to Bannister. Bannister should be looking out to the left-hand side. Donoghue's there. There you go. Donoghue now on the ball. Donoghue's tackled. And now it's with Obeng. Obeng, yes, coming forward, beats Donoghue. Obeng, he's got Caton in the box. Here comes Caton. This is 4. Oh. 4-0. On the 85th minute.
Well, we did say it was more likely to go to 4-0 than 4-3.
And, well...
Well, he took a break down the line, didn't he, old Beng? He did have a little bit of company there for a moment or so with, I think it was Bannister, trying to get a tackle in him. He missed the tackle and then just gave up on the running. And then all it was just a slide rule pass in behind the defensive line of Harris and Mohamed, and Caton just come in and side footed it straight underneath the body into the goal. 4-0.
Probably goes without saying it's Nuneaton's biggest win of the season.
Hi Neil. I think everyone is aware of, you know, what you would have thought of that game. What's your take now after that?
Can't dress it up. My team, my result. I'll accept that. I'll take it. Sorry to everybody. Sorry is a word that's thrown around everywhere, but I'll apologise and I'll accept it. I'm going to went out to dry on radio. What I will say, going to Darlington next week, I am not afraid to put the under-21s in. I'm not afraid.
The fans' response there at the end from that section there in the SMRE and the main stand paddock, you know, there's players skulking off and you were like, get back here.
I made them stay out.
I mean, what kind of reaction do you hope to get next week now? Because surely that is rock bottom.
I'm not going to get a reaction out of 30-40% of them because they're not going to be here. You know, they've missed the transfer deadline day as well. It's not. I'm not going to dress it up. I'm not going to start naming names, berating. Now that I can't. It's all alien to me. You know, the players have got a WhatsApp group, and yesterday they're talking about money, etc. They're not talking about football. They're talking about. You know, I find out everything, and I just said to the lad, got in the car this morning. I said to Potts, "What's on the WhatsApp group in terms of the game? Any camaraderie? Nothing. Nothing. It's a conversation that." That the club haven't paid him for York or something. What a load of nonsense, because the game was called off and they thought they were a week short. And that drives people, money. And I said to Adrian before the game, I said, I know exactly what went on yesterday. And I said, watch this mental spillover onto the pitch today. But if that's it, if that's them wearing this shirt, this, and it is a special club and one of the biggest clubs in non-league football, if that's it, then I'm sorry, I'm not going to have that. Because I'm not going to flipping put myself in an early grave for it, but neither am I going to walk away from it and say that I'm going to accept it. I've signed 6, 7, 8 of them lads out there, and I just said to him, I don't know you personally. You know, my teams that I know, they're built on trust, and you know, and I surround myself with lads that I can trust, like Michael Potts, etc. There's no trust. I can't go and go. There you go, lads. 4-0 at home to Nuneaton. Credit Nuneaton. You know, well done Nuneaton. And I'll take the blame, and I'll take, you know, all the criticism that comes my way. That's absolutely fine.
I mean, you can take the blame if you want, Neil, but ultimately you came up here on Tuesday night. You gave you wanted a response from your team. You gave an unusual interview. Mm. I've known you for a number of years now. An unusual interview where you went for them, and you went, you sort this out, give your head a wobble, sort it out. That makes it equally more disappointing, the level of performance there. I mean, we were trying to pick out a player, and we could only pick out one and a half.
One
maybe.
And a half, yeah.
Mohamed, certainly. Yeah. Maybe O'Halloran at a push. But everyone else, it's been a bit of a letdown, to say the least. That must make it really, really disappointing.
It's hard when you're fans and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, are you? The conversations yesterday about money driving players, or players coming up to me going, can I go on trial next week at a club, or, you know, I want to put myself, my agent wants me to do that. Well, I won't swear on radio, but go on then, because I'll find, you know, it's unusual to me, this. It's just unusual. And, you know, if that's the response after Tuesday night, and that's the response, and, you know, we just shake hands and we go our separate ways and we say thanks very much, but trust me, you know, your reputation goes a long way for me. And when people start asking me what X, Y, and Z's like, I'll just be brutally honest. And it's not. I've never capitulated on a pitch.
I'll tell you what, Neil. If the players are talking about money, what you should say basically back to them and say, right, well, I'll pay you what you're worth, because we've just seen it there.
I've said it, and
not worth paying in pennies.
You know,
for effort,
and that's it. You know, we can't. I'll just tell the truth as it is. Like I said right at the beginning of the interview, I'll accept it. I'm the manager of the football team. I'm down there. I genuinely believe that our time we can come back and win 3-2, and we set ourselves up like we did before the game. But if I'm talking in a different language, if lads aren't retaining information, if they don't want to accept, if they don't want to play for the club, then, you know, off you go. Because I want to manage the club, and I want to. If we've got to go backwards to come forward, I'll promise that will happen, because there'll be lads here that do want to play for the club, and do want to play for the shirt.
The under-21s are quite good, I believe.
but I've got no fear now. I've got no fear whatsoever, because, you know, I just haven't. And I'm not saying that the whole 21s are going to go to Darlington next week, but I can't for my own sanity take some of them players to Darlington next week. That's the guarantee that I can't do.
The question of Nuneaton basically is as simple as, should certain professionals be ashamed of what went on the leading up to that game? That because if there was a result that killed FC this season, it was that. To lose to a 4-0 at home to a team that was long relegated was, let's face it, inexcusable.
And, no, you're
and a quite fiery interview after, well, as
the,
well.
I think
with
interview,
Neil.
The interview was one of a man telling what he thought. And I thought he was quite truthful in everything he said. I think what it also did, it wasn't to try and get the curry favour with the supporters. I think it was basically telling the truth, so supporters knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, because the thing is, I mean, I made the point, I think the elite, somebody just tried to jump in there, but that if he decided that actually I need to get rid of 2 or 3 players this week, even though they can't sign anywhere else, he had to put something in place to explain that first, because everybody would have gone,
because he just promoted
a load of
under 21s.
What the hell is going on here? Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know where, I mean, none of us will really know the true story. You know, you have there's different sides of it. You get talk from different people. It's irrelevant now. Whatever happened, happened, and the decision was made. That Nuneaton game, I mean, people all in the week up to it, it was almost like we were all willing it, because Durham kept getting mentioned over and over. Durham, I looked back at the match report the other day, and we had
in all fairness, every time FC United, for the next 100 years, play a team bottom of the table, everyone's going to mention Durham.
Well, the
Durham.
Thing is, though, the Durham game, we had 40 chances on goal, and it was just one of those games where...
And a wonder goal won it.
Whereas that Nuneaton game, if we'd have been playing them now, it probably would have been 34-0, and we still wouldn't have had a shot on goal. It's as simple as that, because it was it's chalk and cheese, not even the same ballpark, those two games.
Not even the same. Just to try and contextualise the Renault interview, sorry, the Neil Reynolds interview.
Thank you.
A bit.
Gaffer. Oh, sorry, can't say that neither.
Before that interview, he did have a few detractors on social media and on forums and stuff.
Yeah, sorry, he had some detractors on social media.
I clearly said Ferguson.
Ferguson or Lamborghini?
No, it was a John Deere.
He had some detractors on social media on forums. They quickly disappeared after that interview.
Well, there's a number of people on the message boards that are very opinionated, and that's good, because they talk about the game.
I'm not dismissing them.
They talk about the game continuously.
That interview was a bit of a masterstroke in many ways, because it basically went, "We're going to sort this."
Well, did you not hear the noise afterwards? With some people, the penny maybe finally dropped that this is where we're at. This is what the situation is.
In that regard, whether or not there's a spin on it, that's up to him. A historian's going to come back to the Nuneaton match and go, that was the making of FC United.
But the thing is, that was Neil just telling the truth. It wasn't any spin. It wasn't, well, I prepared this. This is what I'm going to say. He was furious. He was upset. He felt betrayed. He felt like the team had betrayed him and all the supporters. And, you know, he just said what he said for the right reasons. And it had the effect that it galvanised the support. It galvanised those who thought he wasn't up to the job. They've all now turned around and said, "Well, we'll give him the season. Let him make his own team out of it." And fair play to him, because he had the cojones to stand up and say what he thought. You know, many manager would have sort of like blamed a whole host of other things, but he was right. And then he did get rid of two or three players, so he was honest. He brought the youth, the 21 players in. He has played a few of them. But again, you've got a problem where you've got
contracted players
coming back that you think aren't going to come back.
I mean, in all fairness,
and they've had to play them.
In all fairness, Sam Baird comes back for the Alfreton match with 8:30. I think the coach left at 10, didn't it?
Yeah.
and he comes back from Johnston and he puts in a man of the match display against Alfreton.
Can we suck the ball into the back of the net? Ball comes across again. Everyone who's on the end of it. When he jumped like a Goliath, and he's absolutely bashed that ball to the back of the net with his bounce. And FC United, with 33 minutes of this second half gone, 11 minutes left. My maths are bobbins, but who cares? A wonderful towering header from the youngster. And I tell you what, if that is the winning goal, what a comeback game, what a comeback goal.
And after Alfreton, like I said earlier, it is the hope that kills you. It's still on. People are still helping us out higher up at the table. Guys, they can't get their act together. But ultimately, James, it comes down to Blyth Spartans, and they're not. Despite all the musings in the press earlier about discontent in the Blyth Spartans dressing room, it didn't really show, did it? And yep. It happened.
Corner to be taken, and that is indeed the end. Blyth Spartans. Playoff promotion is on track still, and FC United of Manchester, after four seasons in the National League North, find themselves relegated into the Northern Premier Division. A cruel season, a hard season, and a lot of lessons learned, and Neil Reynolds will come back bigger and stronger from this, because from adversity, from the fact that, you know, a team who has struggled in fairness for the last four seasons in this division eventually find themselves leaving this division, and we just have to come back bigger and stronger.
Absolutely.
No reason why, or no need to think, well, we have to come straight back up, maybe two or three seasons in the Northern Premier Division. Football is changing dramatically and rapidly now, and the money in the game is ridiculous to a degree at this level. But teams, they go up on merit, on quality, and they get relegated on merit and lack of quality, and that's what we've had this season.
It's been a tough season, and I think if we're all honest, even at Christmas you could see you could see the pathway where it was heading. The having so many changes to a squad of players and trying to find a settled team, it's been too difficult this year. And Reynolds, you know, he's come in and he has made a difference. He's had an impact, but unfortunately, he had a lot of work to do and what he inherited. It takes time to mould them into the players that you want as a manager. He brought back a lot of belief in a lot of the players, and I think he was let down, you know, a couple of months ago by some players. And now we've got to look ahead. It is disappointing, hugely disappointing. As an FC, you know, supporter, it's hard to watch your team struggle throughout the whole season, as I have done. But you know, we have to look ahead now, and we have to see it more as a positive thing of something that we can now rebuild and become stronger again.
They just came and did a job. I mean, FC got an equaliser close to the death, which created literally about 60 seconds of hope, because then Blyth came up the field and scored. But I think, you know, after the Nuneaton result, Neil Reynolds, he played a lot of young players at Darlington. It didn't really work out. There was a lot of very good sort of will there, but not really a very coherent display. And I think with Blyth, they were just a bit too good for us, really. I mean, FC weren't, you know, FC huffed and puffed, really. But there was just enough coherence. And, of course, Potts did make a difference, though. His return, he gets about the place, and he gets them G'd up. And I think with a team that's more of their own, then I think that will really pay off.
Well, a lot of it has come in as well to look or form of players. I mean, when he was on loan, I thought Mike Donoghue was outstanding. He then gets released by Fleetwood. We sign him on a contract.
In all fairness, though, if you're in any profession and you have that knock, it's going to take you a while to get back.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, he had the injury and a suspension as well, so that didn't help. But also, what doesn't help, and this is why I'd like to see him in the squad next year if possible, because he's gone from training every day to he's gone from training every day with Fleetwood and playing with us at the weekend to now training twice a week, and that's going to have an effect. It's like I said, I go from being at work 5 days a week to being 1 day a week.
Indeed.
I'm not going to perform the same.
I think you're right. Donoghue, I think
he's a great footballer.
Has done well to actually get over the fact that he's been released and carry on playing so quickly. Because a lot of players, when that happens to them, my brother included, who is a pro at Oldham Athletic, it killed him. It killed him. And then it took him 6 months before he got back into the game. And fair play to him.
I'm only moving you on because I think something's going to happen shortly.
There's a brass band. They've been playing God Save the Queen.
Can we... speaking of Donoghue, like Potts, is there a core from this team that's been relegated this season, out of all the 58 players who played, is there a core there for Neil to build upon, Paul, for next season?
I think he might retain a small number, but there are certain players, I think, who've had their opportunities this season. I think Alfredson, going back to that one, was like the last hurrah for this squad. And at that stage, we needed to win 3 out of 3. The stats told us that winning 1 out of 3 was possible, but to expect us to win 3 out of 3, and we couldn't do it all season. The players this season have basically let the manager down, by and large. And there's no way that he would continue to keep selecting them next season.
No, I think of it, a lot of it has been off the pitch as well as on the pitch. I think we'll keep three or four. The other 21 players that have come in, they'll be part and parcel of either the squad or go back into the 21s next season. And he'll build a team in the Neil Reynolds mould, which will be attacking, good quality. He'll have a big, good quality centre-half. Next to either maybe Zen Mohammed if he gets a loan period, or maybe Sam Baird, or who knows, next season. And he'll build a team, and he'll build a spine of a team that will be able to compete at a level which is going to be even harder next season.
On a reduced wage bill.
And on a reduced wage bill as well, yes. So, but three, maximum four. I think the rest of the players, if they want to stay at the club, they'll have to come begging to him to say, "I want to stay." And they'll have to take a big hit wage-wise. And I can't see any of the contracted players, in all fairness, staying.
And finally, just before we go, just going to go round for your highlight, because we all know what the low point is. Your highlight of your season, which you... you think I could cling on to that for next year? That'll keep me going over the summer months, James.
I think Hereford away. It's a wonderful first half performance.
Paul? I'll go for the game at Blythe just to be awkward, because it's a place where we...
Me and you commentated in that game and I enjoyed it.
And it's a long trip, and to go and watch us win so handsomely against a side that was doing well.
Swamper?
For me, the appointment of Neil Reynolds is the highlight of the season, and also Elliot Simo's getting a contract and looking like he's going to be a first team player next season. But from a game perspective, it certainly has to be the Hereford game. It was a joy to watch, and I could re-watch that game week in, week out.
And finally to you, Woodsell.
Couple for me. Kidderminster away, because I thought...
It was baffling, that, wasn't it?
Well,
I remember interviewing Jack on the way back.
Probably Willoughby's goal at Alty, because we saw a player there, we thought, we've got one here. Hopefully, well, let's see what happens.
Oh, 21 goals and relegated, I mean... We need to do something to keep hold of him.
That's the other thing. We're talking about keeping a spine of a player. It's some of it's out of our hands because they've got other people in their ears, some of these players. And we need to get over that as well.
Has that been the eye-opening thing? Because we're leaving the National League North for a season or two, or three or four. Has that been the eye-opening thing about this tier of football? Is the number of external factors involved, or is it just something that FC United just haven't got to grips with because we've not really got to grips with Broaders Park?
Well, in the past we've gone on about we don't deal with agents and blah 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 blah. Unfortunately, we may be behind the eight ball because
it's Ludwig,
isn't it? Yeah, because we've never had the experience of dealing with them, and now we're in the big boys league, if you like, and that's what we've got. And maybe we're a little bit naive on it, but you know,
that's why a director of football is needed. That's why that would be dealt with by that person rather than a manager or indeed individuals. I mean, the thing is,
someone who agents call sir, or
someone that you need to be robust. You need to have a fear factor, and you have a director of football that knows it inside out, and also agents are happy to talk to, but no, they're not going to be able to get what they want at the whim of a player.
Just to balance this last bit out, just to talk about agents, Elliot Samoa's agent was actually
Neil Reynolds.
No, was
was Swampy.
Was wise in what he said, that we don't want him to go anywhere. We want him to easily join his football FC United, and in the end, that was the right decision.
Look, if you've got a good relationship with an agent, that's fine.
Yeah,
when you've got three or four agents that are actually blowing smoke up their own players' backsides and telling them they can go here, they can go there, when they've not even done well in a season in a National League, and promoting them to go two level higher.
What you need to do, maybe when this is there, obviously when this is there, this is all gone. But all you have to do to see that on a Saturday night after our games is go and see on social media, on Twitter, our players' agents. You know, we've lost a game, but such person scored a goal. Oh, such great performance, and we've got 0 points again. And that's where we're at the moment. Or we were at.
But finally, before we go, looking forward to next season.
Oh, I always look forward to it.
Like a sore bay, isn't it?
And it's funny because part of me thought, oh no, we can't go down. But the mood has actually been really, I think, positive since the time came, really, or for some weeks. You know.
Well, on that note,
you listen to the supporters on the last game of the season. Yeah. That what they created and the atmosphere they created, knowing we were going down, and even a draw wouldn't save us, but going down and knowing that, and it was a celebration. And I had a friend of mine who's a Barrow fan, and he said, I've seen your celebrations after the game, and I said it was a testament to you as a football club and the supporters that you've gone down into the Northern Prem, and yet you create that much noise and that much passion for your football club. So we'll always be okay. We just now need to get it right out of the pitch.
And on that note, that is the end of our season review of the 2018-19 season. Big thank you to James Quinn for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you to Stato Paul. Thank you to Swampy.
Welcome.
Thank you to Steve Wood. And thank you to Brackley Town, who've allowed us to stay here for 2 weeks and supply us with food.
Very
and
nice,
beverage.
Isn't it?
Very
good. Kept the music going.
The burgers are very nice.
The cricket was fantastic 2 days ago. It was a 3-day test match there.
Was it?
Wonderful, yeah, really enjoyed it.
Take care, everyone, and we'll see you for the pre-season friendlies in July.
Good night.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.